On our program today, we're going to visit with Chris Torres. Chris is the Chief Financial Officer at the Boone County Hospital. And Chris, thanks for taking time to be our guest today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure, Jim, to be here with you.
I know, short timer here in Boone, Iowa. You, middle of the year you came up here. First of all, got to say, people will understand once they hear you talk a little bit. He came from Texas.
That's right. Came from Texas. We got here towards the end of June, and so been here almost four months to the date. So yeah, it's been a blast. It truly has.
So I wanted to find out, you've been in healthcare for some time, probably larger facilities, I'm guessing, or similar size, and what attracted you to Boone?
That's something that I get asked, so many different times, it really causes me to take a step back in answering this, because I believe, just my personal belief, is that this was a God-led transition for myself and my family, and so there's been so many things that. Since then, that is just, man, it seems like it's all fallen into place, and great team, great community. I mean, we really love it here. Been in healthcare for a little over 16 years, and it's been a mix of larger health systems to smaller and right around this size. It's having that diverse background. It's helped me exponentially to make this transition to a new state, new community, new team. So yeah, it's been great.
Well, we've had the transition that's been going on here for a little while. One of the things that, and I'm sure as you investigated what it was like here, things, critical access hospital, obviously close to the metro area, close to Ames and Mary Greeley, and again, still an opportunity to keep providing a lot of service to a lot of people. Critical access, special kind of an operation, and fortunately Boone happens to be, well, we've got several here in the state of Iowa, but I would say in the upper tier of critical access hospitals.
Yeah, and I would say that too. And early on when I first came, and actually before that, when I was researching, I did pick up on that, and I was so surprised at the number of critical access hospitals in the state of Iowa and the surrounding states. You know, when we look at a map of all of the counties in Iowa that has a critical access hospital, I was very pleasantly surprised by that. And so that is one of the things that's a newer experience for me, getting to learn some of the uniquenesses of critical access. And so yeah, it's been fun.
Well that's one way to put it. Again, they are for a lot of people that have a difficulty understanding exactly what it is. It is, there are certain standards that you have to meet, and again, certain requirements and benefits to being critical access, and also some drawbacks too. That does limit on how many people you can have in there and things like that, your population, your census.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things for critical access is it's 25 beds or less, and which a lot of times when you do have 25 beds or less, then you are considered a smaller hospital or smaller health system when you look at as a whole, the nation as a whole. But I would say that we are on the larger side of a critical access, and so though our census is usually ranges from 5 to 12 on any given day, I do feel like that when you look at us as a whole, we are on that larger side.
Do you and I know one of the big parts of our hospital, obviously we have a little more elderly population, we have a lot of younger people too, and we're really doing well on delivering babies. We got a bunch of those. But we have quite a diverse population that makes use of our facility.
Yeah, and I'm seeing that as well. And the more that I get acclimated and being able to look at data like that and dive into it, I am of course those are some of the things that are becoming more and more evident is that that population mix and it is exciting to know that that we're growing our OB, that we're investing in that area. In order to have more of an impact in our OB population, in that younger population, and as well as other areas of the hospital that we're investing in, that we focus our investments to in growing certain areas of the hospital, so in order to maximize the benefit that we can offer to our community.
Well, so you got moved here. Right away you come to a meeting and we're ready to start the new fiscal year and you're going, okay. You get a chance to take... fortunately, you have some people that have been on the staff for a while, so that does help, I'm guessing, on the transition to taking a look at a budget, again, how that budget was arrived at, what are we looking at? And at this point in time, through the first quarter, we're actually doing pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, we've had a very good first quarter. And as you mentioned, and coming in, you mentioned about having a team that's been here that's, already pretty much has that foundation, that core foundation. And so that helps tremendously from an experience standpoint, from, a knowledge standpoint. And, a lot of – and the staff has just done so great of work over the last few years post pandemic, and so you can really see the fruit of all of that labor, and we can really see it over the last 3 months and the last 15 months, because it's kind of continued from last year. And so when you look at that, you look at some of the reasons and the whys behind it, it all comes down to the great things that our staff is doing, and again, when we talk about evolving as an organization to continue to strive for improvements, look for improvements, you can really see that over the last several years.
I'm guessing about the time you came in, auditors started doing their work and getting ready for that, because it usually comes at the end of the fiscal year, and usually this is about the time of the year when they start giving information back. But you probably got feedback during the whole process. I think we work with ID Bailey, pretty well-known firm.
Yes, that's correct. As soon as I stepped foot in here, it was already talks of audit and, cost report. And so that part was... when you go through it every year, you learn to work, you establish your schedule and certain times of the year. And so though it is a bit earlier for me, historically I've had fiscal years that had ended September 30th. Well, our fiscal year here ends June 30th. And so, as soon as I started, it was talks of audit. And all the audit work papers, and so you just hit the ground running, I gotta commend the staff. They've done a tremendous job this last year, and to pretty much have that mindset of being audit ready throughout the year, and so that was evident as soon as I got here.
Is it something like that coming in at that time, and you have the audit auditors are taking a look at different information and things like that? Does that help you? Did that help you become a little more familiarized with how things were going?
You know, that's a good, great point, because that is one of the things that that has helped me, being able to review, look at the same things that the auditors look at, and so from a higher level, being able to kind of get a do a health assessment of our organization. And so that timing was perfect timing, me coming in and, you know, being here a month and then being able to meet with our auditors and go through all of the different things that they look at. And so, yeah, it helped me tremendously. And it continues to help, because we continue to stay in contact with our auditors throughout the whole process. And so, you know, they continue to provide more information that maybe I haven't considered yet. And so it's just worked out so perfectly.
I know that one of the things, again, with not just audit information, but as you get into doing it, and again, we touch on a little bit older population, so Medicare, Medicaid, those are challenges. And again, being reimbursed in a timely fashion, those kinds of things. And we do have a pretty good sized operation that does depend on that. I mean, we've got our health insurance providers that have their processes, but Medicare, Medicaid, that's a little more of a sometimes can be a real challenge.
Yeah, sometimes it can be. You know, the Medicare is from a federal level, they're always looking to just like any other business. You know, just like us, we're always looking to refine our processes, looking to reduce, become more efficient, cost efficient, yeah, on certain areas. And so that's the same thing. Like on the federal level, they're always continually looking at, you know, how they can become more efficient on and reduce their overall budget. And so those changes and those impacts, of course, trickle down to providers. And so we have to then navigate through that and understand, try to understand as best as we can and as quick as we can what those changes are, so that we can adapt. And so that's where the challenges come in. But, you know, there are challenges that, again, help us continue to help us learn and help us grow and help us get better. And so it's but needless to say, they are still challenges. But and sometimes the unfortunate thing is that though we can handle those challenges from an organization standpoint, sometimes our patients don't always understand all of the changes and that Medicare, you know, puts out there, or in some instances, the managed care organizations that are managed by Medicare. Sometimes those, you know, changes are difficult for our patients. And so we just try to do the best we can to not only educate ourselves, but also in order to educate our patients and to help our patients stay up to speed on all of the changes.
Those are some of the big challenges, yes. Keeping the patients comfortable with what's happening, because sometimes they feel like I'm lost here with everything that's going on. So they look for that. They look for that information.
They look for, yeah, and because I mean, overall, healthcare can be very complex, and so I think, you know, it's a big part of our focus. And when I say our, all of our front-facing healthcare staff who does communicate with our patients on a regular basis. But I think it's very important focus, mm-hmm, for us to be in sync with our patients. You know, communication helps so much, and especially when patients and their families are going through different situations in life. And, you know, like you were saying, they're, you know, our population is getting older, so they're going to, you know, start having more health challenges. And so I think it's very important that we stay up to speed on so that we can add that, you know, that other layer of reassurance to our patients, and let them know that we're here right there with you on their journey.
I was going to say, one of the things I know for sure is that the board had a goal. This would have been on the finance side of it, and that's to have 120 days cash on hand. And some people are going, well, that's a lot. But I can remember when it was like 3 days. So, folks, this is much better position to be in. And it's that's not out of line for like a public hospital, like our hospital, to have something like that, that in reserves to be able to, when shortfalls come or when reimbursements don't come in time, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's you made very good points, you know, because like you said, when they don't come in time, and so you know, we're often delayed by budget shifts or budget changes on the federal level or even on the state level, and so you know, those delays in being able to receive payments from the insurance company on a timely basis is what makes having, you know, good, strong cash available very helpful, because, you know, especially in times of, you know, 2020, 2019, and 2020 during the pandemic, it was very critical, you know, at that point. And so, you know, fast forward 4 years later, you know, when now that we're at a position where we're continually trying to increase our cash in order to have those reserves for our facilities and to invest back in our staff, those having a good, strong cash position is one of the most important things in healthcare.
I did want to talk about a few other things that are going on at the Boone County Hospital. Of course, we have capital projects. All of a sudden, those fall into your category. How do we finance these things? But a lot of those were planned for before you got here. The helipad in particular, I know they did MRI before that. So it's been a busy place over there at the hospital itself. And now we've got some other construction at the clinics going on as well.
Yeah, and I smile as I hear you talk through these things, because, yes, when you say very busy, man, like I said, it was hitting the ground running, you know, when I got here. And so being able to be a part of these projects that were, like you said, already planned, and they were planned, talked about, they were just on the cusp of getting started. So just being able to be a part of that and come in and look for financing opportunities and be able to work through all that has been fun. But I think it also plays into what we were saying about keeping our cash reserves, you know, at a higher position, and be able to go out and seek financing for those for these major projects has been critical for us. But we've been able to do it. Our board was able to approve a few leases in our last board meeting, so that has helped. And so, yeah, we continue to look for opportunities like that. I do think that when you hear the term lease, you know, sometimes you can think of, you know, car leases and whatnot. Yeah. And so it is a different world from a capital financing standpoint that we live in now. And so it's just the terminology sometimes can get me too.
Well, we know that the helipad is done. And fortunately, the weather did allow them to stay ahead of schedule on that.
Yeah. Yes, and that's always so good. I think early on in the project, we had a couple of weather days, bad weather days, but they got caught up real quick. They did an excellent job of not only staying on schedule, but also getting ahead of schedule. And I believe, they finished. I believe officially it's been about 3 weeks ahead of schedule. And so we've already had a couple of inspections. And so, yeah, just working through some final things. But yeah, it's been released, complete. So, yeah, very excited about it.
Now, if you were as excited about the parking lot on the South Clinic, that one's taking a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's when we drive by there, I try to drive by there, you know, as frequent as I can. But so, yeah, it is. I think that project, the scope of that is taking a little longer. But we do expect that over the next couple of weeks, you know, I'm being optimistic, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can start to see some shifts from there up to the south part of our hospital so that we can start working on the parking lot up here on the hospital side.
Getting that taken care of, too. One of the things you have to do, we do have our clinic operations. Of course, got the North Clinic, South Clinic, got Ogden, Madrid, and you got providers there. We've got some new providers in that got to be kind of exciting because they're starting to get new patients in, trying to transition patients from doctors that retired. And it seems like, at least on the clinic side, those are always a little harder because that's a lot of activity going on.
Yeah, a lot of activity, and we always, well, a major goal of us, of any organization, but especially ours, is to be able to provide access to care. And so that, and when I say access to care, not only just access to care, but timely access to care. And so it's been very, it's been very exciting to see us fill those open positions and bring in new providers at all of our clinics. And so, yeah, it's just one of those, it's having that reach out into our community, especially places like, in Ogden, having that clinic there for that community. You had mentioned the new providers, Dr. Hernandez coming in has been, that transition has been super great. We've had numerous reports of patients, talking about how well they're doing and how thankful they are to have her there, and in addition to some of our other providers, new providers. So, yeah, it's so nice to be able to see again and have a positive outlook on these areas because of the feedback that we're getting from our community. So that's really great.
And Dr. Holmes just starting at the South Clinic too, so.
Yeah, Dr. Holmes just started. I believe that she started in October, the beginning of October, and then so now she's. I want to say she's running full speed. Now I think it was about the middle of October is when she started seeing her own patients, and so yeah, already have a good OB type patients. Yep, lined up. So it's great.
I know one of the things Michaela was interested in was getting more orthopedics back in here and working with Capital. They have started doing procedures here at the Boone County Hospital, and I think we're seeing pretty steady growth in that.
Yeah, I think so. And as we compare this quarter to the quarter before, any time that you have a change like that, sometimes you do see a little dip in volumes until that transition, is completed. We do anticipate more growth. And so that's one of the things, though, anytime that we have a new service, or not necessarily a new service, but a change in service or even a new service that comes in, it's very important that we do track the progress of that early on. And then we just to compare and just to ensure that we're on a good trajectory. So, yeah, it's always important.
There's so many more things I could ask about, like how are you like learning about the strategic plan and all these other things too. Those I can hold off for another time when we get, because you've only been here a few months. So just really hitting the ground running and going forward. But I did want to first thank you for taking time to visit with us, kind of get us updated on how things are going at the hospital, how they're progressing, and getting a chance to meet you. We'll get you into the studio one of these days and get a chance to visit with you there too, okay?
That would be great. I would love that. Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited of the great things that we're doing and just all the different services that we're able to offer our community now. And it's just, it's so wonderful.
Chris Torres is the Chief Financial Officer of the Boone County Hospital. Thanks for visiting with us.
All right. Thank you.